This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, number one is it's Red Friday. We're just days away from Super Bowl 59. Chiefs, Eagles, there's been some line movement happening today, Cody. The Chiefs down to 1-point favorites. There's an expectation that's going to keep trending in that direction now with some Eagles money continuing to come in. So what does that mean? Well, if you were somebody that was waiting to bet on the Chiefs to actually win this game, you're going to get a better number now. Not only on the spread, but your money line is going to be a little bit better. There's a chance this gets to a pick'em by Sunday at kickoff. We shall see. If you were looking to bet the Eagles, you might have missed your opportunity to do that, is what we're saying. But I'm assuming everybody listening here is banking on the Chiefs to win this thing on Sunday. But it is going to be a stressful Sunday, I think. But right now, I'm feeling pretty confident, man. We're live at Rally House as well till 2 o'clock. Great to talk to some listeners. A listener brought us Chick-fil-A. I don't know what's in there, was very, very nice as well. But come on by, register to win a $250 gift card. We're at the Oak Park location, 97th and Quivira.
Next up on What's Trending, last night was the NFL Honors, which means NFL Awards. Josh Allen was listed as the MVP, Saquon Barkley, Offensive Player of the Year, Jaden Daniels, Rookie of the Year, and O'Connell was named Coach of the Year. There were obviously other awards outside of that. Those were the four big ones on that end. Josh Allen was a surprise winner for the MVP award, as Lamar Jackson had been first-team All-Pro, but he took home the award last night.
We're going to get back into the controversy around the voting and how you can win All-Pro, or not win, how you can be first-team All-Pro and then not win MVP, which is what happened with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. But other than that, not a ton of surprises, really, with the award show.
I think there are a lot of the people expected. Yeah. Saquon was always going to win Offensive Player
of the Year. It was nice to see a lot of guys that, you know, are free this time of year, don't have any big games to play for.
Can show up to the awards and wear a suit.
Yeah, they look good. They looked happy. They got their awards and their recognition. It's really nice that the NFL puts on this preview thing right before the Super Bowl.
Last four league MVPs are the two quarterbacks that Patrick Mahomes has beaten in the AFC title game, and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and himself. So he either beats the league MVP on his way to another Super Bowl trip, or he just is the league MVP.
Next on What's Trending, Kansas State. Looks like there's a report out there that they could lose their offensive coordinator, Connor Riley. The report suggests that he is going to go take an offensive line coaching gig with the Dallas Cowboys. That's not been official yet, but there's multiple reports suggesting that. That would be, the second time in the last 2 years that they've lost their OC, or a year, because they lost
Colin Klein
to Texas.
Yeah, it's a big loss.
Right? Wasn't A&M? Is that where he went?
Yeah, Connor Riley, yes. Apparently, by all the college football people I follow, said he is incredibly well-respected as an offensive line coach.
We'll see what they do. Avery Johnson, of course, is a very talented quarterback. It looks like he's going to have a new OC.
Next up on Watch Training, the Steelers announced that they will be playing in Dublin officially next season. Now that means starting in 2026, we've got 6 different host cities. The next year, there'll be a game in London, three games in London, one in Dublin, one in Munich. Like, they're just kind of traveling
Chiefs
the globe.
Might be playing in Munich.
Certainly in there. I'd be hard pressed to see that many international games and the Chiefs having zero part in any of them. But everybody was rumored that this was going to be the case. But it is official. The Steelers will play in Dublin next season. In K-State playing in Dublin
they
to
are.
Open up the season next year?
The first game of the college football season will be K-State-Iowa State, Farmageddon, Ireland edition. That'd be a fun trip, man. That'd be a fun trip.
Do you make potato famine jokes? Or, like, how's that work if it's Farmageddon, but it's a...
What? I don't know, man.
Okay, I guess we're not making historical references now.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's fun. That's fun.
That's what I'm going to call it if Kansas State can't pass in a game.
Okay.
If they don't pass, then there's a lot of problems.
I guess Iowa State... Is Iowa State supposed to be good next year?
They're probably going to be pretty good again, yes.
Okay.
Kansas State also should be good, though.
Let's take the show on an Aer Lingus flight and let's get to Ireland. You
sure.
Know? Let's hop on board.
We are official broadcast partners with Kansas State Athletics. They got an extra two spots on the plane.
We'll have to pick up some pints.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
We'll have to go to their game.
I'm sure they'll just gladly let us hop on, yeah.
Your Irish accent's mediocre, Drew, but it'll work. That's the only accent
By
I feel,
order of the Peaky Blinders.
That didn't sound Irish at all.
I know,
Peaky
Blinders was more British. It was more British than it was
because Peaky Blinders.
Hey, I can't wait for Cody and Gold to be in lovely Ireland. I can't get the Ireland part.
Aye.
Oh, gosh.
It'll be fine. We're not going to be there. Drew and Gold. Yesterday, Barber was in the studio and you asked him a question.
I did.
You said, other than Chris Jones on defense, who we all universally agree is the most important player on defense for the Chiefs on Sunday, who is the player most important after that? He gave us a surprise answer, I think, in Leo Chenal. I think this is an interesting study because I think I'd be very tempted to just be like McDuffie, Watson,
sure,
and just list off the corners, knowing that Devonta Smith, knowing that, you know, what they have at wide receiver and A.J. Brown. My answer is actually Charles Omenihue. Because of the way their offensive line is set up and how they're designed to be beat, as in strength versus speed, edge versus this, Charles Omenihue, because of what he possesses, he's a more speed rusher than Karloftis, who's going to try to maul you and beat you in that way. I think Charles Omenihue is the second most important defensive player for the Chiefs in this game. I think he needs to have a good game to ensure that they get a win. And I think that the matchup favors him in a lot of ways against their offensive line. And because he's going to be going up against their all-pro caliber play in Jordan Mailata some snaps and their very good tackles, I think he's the second most important player.
I mean, I hard to argue. My feeling about Charles Omenihue from when he came back this season and prior when we were talking about the defensive struggles and like, hey, let's just wait to see what he looks like when he comes back because he might have a huge impact. So I don't hate that answer at all. I think that's probably one of the top names you would think of. I'll go and stick with the linebacking core, and I get why he said Chenal based on the athleticism.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm actually going to go with Nick Bolton for this one because this is a guy that at times unfairly criticized, and he typically in these spots, like last time against Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, stepped up, had a huge game. I think he's critical in the run game. Say what you will about him in coverage and everything, in the run game, he's a thumper, right? He's one of those guys that is going to come up and run coverage and run downs. And you talk about, hey, making sure you can get Saquon to the ground and you don't let him maneuver around you. Nick Bolton's going to be crucial in this game, in the run game in particular as well. Plus, he'll have some assignments, I'm sure, with some of the tight ends, Dallas Goedert and Calcaterra. So I think Nick Bolton, if we're going a little off the path from the obvious Chris Joneses of the world, I think Nick Bolton could end up, not that I think he's going to have a pick six or almost a pick six or a fumble.
But the tight end stuff for sure.
But I think Nick Bolton will be crucial in this game, and don't be surprised if he has another big impact because of the run game that we know. It's not even just Saquon. Of course, I'm talking about, hey, Jalen Hurts can decide to keep it himself, and he's going to try to find the outside lane. Who's there? And I think Nick, you could probably even argue Drew Tranquil, but I'll go Nick Bolton for this. What about you, Drew? What about you guys on the text line? 913-586-7965.
I mean, I think it's, to me, I think it's easy to say Trent McDuffie, but in terms of, you're saying the best player, correct? It's not like the key player in this game, where I feel like, not that Barber was saying that Chanel's the best player, but I feel like he was going more for the key player angle. You guys are talking best player, though, correct?
Yes. Well, I don't know. No, important is really what we were arguing.
Because I
don't want
like
to get into the MVP conversation, but I was arguing more most important player.
Okay, if we're talking like importance, then I feel like Charles Omenihue is one that, to me, that stands out just by based on what he's been able to do and helping Chris Jones taking some of the pressure off of him. And George Karlaftis, I think, is wrapped kind of into that same conversation where you look at just the end play in general. George Karlaftis and Charles Omenihu have an opportunity where if Chris Jones is taking the double teams and everything, they got to win and try to put some pressure on Jalen Hurts where he either takes those sacks or force him into miscues or help Chris Jones by being good enough maybe to attract a double team where Chris Jones can finally get a one-on-one against somebody.
It's just what, like what Briscoe mentioned earlier is what I never understood about the national discourse, which is they're discussing Jalen Carter like he's Chris Jones, and Chris Jones is in this game. What are we talking about? He's the league's best defensive tackle and has been for multiple years now. But he's an all-pro for a reason, and they discuss it like Jalen Carter is the only one who can disrupt a game. And I think a lot of it is because of their size, which is why I go to Omenihu. And I'm not saying McDuffie and Watson and those guys don't matter. They certainly do. But, like, I go to Omenihu because I think size-wise, he is favorable here.
If you get pressure with four guys, I feel like it just totally can wreck the Eagles' game plan. It can totally tear things up where Spags doesn't even have to blitz. Like, if Spags doesn't even have to come up with those creative blitzes, he'll still do it. But if he doesn't even have to worry about it because they're getting home with four guys and they can do it on a fairly regular basis, I mean, it can wreck the game completely for the Eagles' offense.
What you said with Carter and how people are talking about him, I think what it is, too, is the general sentiment that I think you and I think Drew agrees as well, is incorrect on this, which is that as if the Chiefs haven't seen so many of the things that they're about to see. And they have seen almost all of these elements that we all view it makes the Eagles a great team, but they have seen it. They've seen a defensive line like Philadelphia this year that's better. They've also seen one 2 years ago in the Super Bowl that was better.
In my opinion,
you
yes.
You know, I mean, well, and I'll give credit, actually, some of the numbers, they're out there that actually back that up. I mean, you know, Seth Kizer, if you guys are on social media and on X, you guys know the name, he pulled it up. I mean, even if you want to just look at specific numbers, quarterback pressures from offensive line units in 2022, remember, that was a Eagles defensive line and defensive unit that had a single season sack record for starters.
Historical year.
Yeah, historical year. They're not anywhere near that. That year in quarterback pressures, I'm just talking about pressures. That year they had Hassan Reddick, okay? And he had 41 pressures that year. That was their top pressure guy. This year their top pressure guy is Jalen Carter, but it's 23. Their second leading pressure defensive lineman was 27 in 2022. Same player this go around in Sweat, 16. It was Fletcher Cox at 25 in 2022. This year, the gap for the third guy is 15. So, and that's Smith. So the point is, it's just not the same front. They're a very good defensive front.
And they're deep.
It's not nearly as good as 2022.
Well, and guys,
and the Chiefs have seen a better front.
I don't understand. To me, I don't understand why people aren't talking about the Eagles secondary more in this conversation, because I agree with you guys. The defensive line is not the same defensive line. Yes, they got Jalen Carter, and he's a dog, and he's a mammoth of a human being. But to me, like Barbara brought it up with Darius Slay. Nobody has mentioned Darius Slay, I don't think, one time from a national perspective of how well Quinion Mitchell, Darius Slay, Cooper DeJean are all playing, where to me, that's the strength of the defense more than it is the defensive line, is how well they can hang with guys, particularly Quinion Mitchell being the rookie and Cooper DeJean being a rookie as well. People aren't talking about them as much as they are Jalen Carter. Where, to your point, Cody, they're making it seem, and Briscoe's point too, they're making it seem like Jalen Carter is Chris Jones when he's not there yet in terms of an impact perspective at all.
Interesting on the secondary. I think it is a very good secondary. I wonder if they're not getting as much attention, one, because, hey, they're just a bunch of rookies, a bunch of young guys.
Yeah,
and the thought
not household names.
Yeah,
sure.
Not household names, and then also it's the worry, the concern. And I would be, if I was an Eagles fan, a little concerned. All right, they play great all year. Maybe they're just that special of a group. But it's Patrick Mahomes, 2 weeks to prep. It's Andy Reid, 2 weeks to prep. And you're like, hey, do we really think that secondary is going to confuse Patrick Mahomes? It goes back to Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator discussion. Not that it's the same QB, but Mahomes, of course, has not lost to Vic Fangio. And this is not the defensive coordinator. This is not the scheme that's going to confuse Mahomes. Does it mean that they can't have some big plays? Of course. They're a good defensive team. They're a very good football team. But the confusion, this isn't the secondary that's confusing him, in my opinion, with a bunch of rookies. And this is not the defensive coordinator that's confusing him. That was Bill Belichick. That was for a game, for a half, Lou Anarumo.
In the end, do you think we got the two best teams in the league? You know that this is tied for the
no.
best
No.
Regular season wins. This is tied for the most wins two teams faced off in the regular season in Super Bowl history. If you include the playoffs, it is the most. It's not even tied for anything because there's an extra round of playoffs, and obviously the Eagles played in it. So it is, by all accounts, the most wins two teams have come into a Super Bowl.
I don't think they're the two best teams, though. Not, and I ultimately, like, oh, they're in the Super Bowl. They have to be.
You think that was the game before?
I think overall in the NFC, the Detroit Lions were the best team in the NFC this year. Now, they didn't, look, they got banged up. They didn't
injuries
make it there.
Injuries got the better of them.
It doesn't matter. You get to the Super Bowl, you don't get to the Super Bowl. But if you're saying in the entire 32-team NFL, do I think these are the number one, number two, if we're being honest about where the roster makeups are and everything? No, I actually think the Detroit Lions, from a roster makeup, were still the better team this year. They just got so banged up at the end. And Philadelphia, to their credit, took advantage of what I view as a fairly easy NFC path. They did not have to ultimately play the Detroit Lions.
Dude, someone on Twitter really got mad at you yesterday.
And they tagged you as well. In Philadelphia, in fairness, okay? they're listening. Shout out to Philadelphia. You guys are listening to KC Radio this week, and that's fine. They were upset. They said we misled Kansas City because we
misled
said that they're offense hasn't faced great pass defenses.
Like, somehow us telling them that changes the outcome of the game, by the way.
But it's a fact. They had the easiest schedule against pass defenses this year. That's just a fact. And that's not even my stat. That's from Warren Sharp, who went through and looked at it. The Eagles had the easiest schedule strength-wise against pass defenses. Doesn't mean that they weren't 5-0 against top 10 pass defenses. That is true, but that was never the stat we were referencing.
He also pointed out, I guess, in that
it's some random guy. It's some random guy. 80 followers on Twitter. I mean, it's probably not even representing Philadelphia very well.
But I'll point out that he said that, like, they had faced four top 10 defenses this year, and the Chiefs had faced seven. There are only 17 games. That is a significant margin. I know you think seven's not a very big number, four's not a very big number, that must mean nothing. No, that means a lot. That means Chiefs played almost twice as many games against top 10 defenses this season alone. Look, I am not denying the Eagles. I was asking that question for a real reason, because I wanted to know, I think the Bills were a better team. And that doesn't mean you can't lose this game. Certainly, the Chiefs lost to the Bills earlier this year, or everything in between, and certainly a factor's in there. It is so hard sometimes, and I'm not saying this can't happen, in the modern NFL, in 2025, it's been a while since I watched a team get to and compete in the Super Bowl and win, in which I did not think the quarterback was their best player. So I've seen him in the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes is the best player, and he beat those other guys, right? Whether it be Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts or Jimmy Garoppolo. But when it was the Bucs, Tom Brady was their best player. When it was the Rams, Matt Stafford is their best player. And so, like, with Jalen Hurts, it's interesting because you don't often see teams built around this idea that there are, like, four players that you're saying are better than their best player. Like, we did the player draft earlier, and I took Jalen Hurts. He got taken, like, seventh amongst all the players in the entire game or whatever it is. And that's where, like, sometimes I have a hard time shaking it. And, yeah, I don't think the Eagles played a tremendously difficult schedule. Did they ever play some good teams? Yeah, they did. But did they play, like, a murderer's row of endless barrage?
It's just simply an AFC-NFC conversation. That's all.
The NFC's weaker.
You don't apologize for how you get to a Super Bowl, but when we're breaking down and trying to figure out the edges that one team may or may not have in a game, the Eagles have taken advantage of an NFC, unlike an AFC, that doesn't have this gauntlet of quarterbacks. Now, that could change over the next couple of years, and Jalen Hurts could be a huge part of that, and probably is a huge part of that. Ultimately, as time goes on, maybe Jayden Daniels becomes that dude. Caleb Williams, maybe Shadur goes to an NFC team. Who knows? You know, we don't know how it'll look in the next couple of years. In the AFC, I know that you have to go through Allen and Lamar and Mahomes.
You have to beat at least two of those guys to get to a Super Bowl.
And in some years, maybe Joe Burrow. Like, that's way tougher path than what Philly has gone. The 2 years they got to the Super Bowl, they've taken advantage of an NFC that doesn't have that kind of quarterback yet. And that's fine. And that's why you need to capitalize if you're Philadelphia. But I agree with the texter, you know, when we're discussing the secondary there, Drew, in Philly, and why maybe in Kansas City we talk more about the entire unit versus just the secondary, and even nationally. The defensive player of the year last night was who? Pat Surtain II. The Chiefs play him twice a year. You know, they play a top tier corner throughout the season. You know, they've played a Houston defense that had
Denver Broncos had a great defensive line.
Stingley,
Nick Benito.
Stingley Jr. I'm talking about the corners, but sure. I'm talking more just the secondary. But yes, that applies to the defensive line too. Go ahead, Drew. Sorry.
I mean I get that. I'm just talking. I'm not saying that the Chiefs haven't played anybody. I'm saying is everybody's talking about Jalen Carter as if he's the biggest, most important player, and he might be one of the individual pieces as a unit. The secondary, I think, is the best part of the Eagles' defense entirely.
Yeah, because
of what they're able to do, they're able to go. You know, not to say that they won't go man to man because they play a lot of zone, but I wonder if Vic Fangio, to try to throw a curveball, would say, okay, do I believe that Quinyon Mitchell, who can go toe-to-toe with Xavier Worthy in terms of speed, they're both extremely fast, very quick 40 times, can he be there? Cooper DeJean, the athlete who can play all over the place. Barbara mentioned yesterday, Swiss Army Knife. Darius Slay is a guy that cannot necessarily lock you down as much as Pat Surtain, certainly, or Derek Stingley Jr. or Trent McDuffie or whoever, but he's a good enough corner where collectively as a unit, maybe Jalen Carter is actually as good as he is because the secondary has been as good as they have been. I think that was the conversation we had last year with the Chiefs team as well, where, sack-wise, they were really good, but the secondary was a big part in the reason why they were getting some of those sacks, where maybe the sack numbers are a little bit lower, but the defensive tackle, Jalen Carter, is able to have more time to get to the quarterback because the secondary is doing its job in terms of coverage. That's the angle that I'm just coming from.
We'll see how it plays out, obviously. But yeah,
I'm not saying that they're going to be the reason they win or whatnot, but or that the Eagles are going to win by any means. But I'm just saying that I think that that's a narrative that hasn't been talked about at all whatsoever, more than, or even Zach Bond.
Sure. To your point, Drew, and I think this is more than fair. I've asked the question to people who either cover this team and we're trying to figure out a way for the Chiefs to win, or people that cover the other team. Because right now, I think the most difficult thing about the Chiefs, other than Patrick Mahomes is a legend and an all-timer and will complete pass to anybody, is they go deep. They roll deep on offense. You can't, it's not like cutting out one leg and now they can't walk. It's more like an octopus, and it's just like each limb operates independently and one is not necessarily stronger than the other. You can take out Xavier Worthy, or you can take out, we're not letting Hollywood Brown get behind us, and we're not letting Xavier Worthy get behind us, and we're going to use our great corners and just run zone. Well, then here comes Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
And if you're trying to take care of Travis Kelce, you run into these other problems. Having a bunch of corners is important, because covering Kansas City on each and every down is very difficult.
I have to ask, the octopus reference again, was that because A, Briscoe said it earlier, or because octopus betting is on the mind? Because
I didn't remember Briscoe
used octopus to describe
it. Maybe someone asked yesterday in the text line what an octopus is. Would you like to explain for those who might want to bet it?
Yeah, it's a bet. It happened in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
It did.
Based the same player to get a touchdown and the two-point conversion. That same sequence. So Jalen Hurts scored a touchdown, and then he ran in for the two-point conversion.
Octopus is being octo, eight.
Yes. It turns out 6 + 2 = 8, and that's how you get there. And
carry the one.
Yeah, it's how that works.
Okay.
We don't like to do math on this show, but we can do that. We can do that. And there's a bet you can obviously have.
Do you have to bet the player, or just that one will happen?
Depends on both. You can do both. There's a prop that's specifically Jalen Hurts getting an octopus, or just will there be one in the game?
Saquon could also get one. That's not crazy.
Yeah. Look, if you're going to bet it, you probably got to bet an Eagles player for it, just based on what we just got done saying about the mixture of players on the Chiefs offense and the depth.
Who's the most likely Chiefs player? Mahomes, I guess. Running in back-to-back times?
No, he's not running in back-to-back plays.
Kelce? Who would you bet if you had to bet
Worthy.
A Chief? Worthy?
He catches one, and then on two-point conversion, they got some other
end-around, weirdo
thing,
nonsense.
If I had to pick a
player. Noah Gray?
Well, that would be great, too.
I know, great.
I don't need two-point conversion for Noah Gray. I need to
save
that counts as a catch, though, if I need the catch bet.
Yeah,
we'll do
true.
That. We'll have, in the 1 o'clock hour today, our final predictions. We'll have our best bets. Up next, though, I want to talk about the MVP market a little bit. And also, we know this could be Travis Kelce's last game. Could be, right? But who else could be playing in their final game as a member of the Chiefs? That's coming up next as we continue broadcasting live from Rally House Oak Park till 2 o'clock. Come on by, get geared up for the big game, and register to win a $250 gift card right here on 96.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five the Fan. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Here in about 12, 15 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. Also, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we will head back down to New Orleans and check in with Dusty Likens, of course, from Fesco and Dusty. They've been in New Orleans since Sunday. It's now Friday. They've wrapped up their final show of the week. Who knows what he's already getting involved in. I can't wait for him to check in at 1:15 and find out where he is at, if he's in the French Quarter, or where is he at, and if he heard what Drew did to some of his audio.
Doctored it.
So,
but also the spirit lives on, so we'll let him defend himself.
We'll find out. We are hanging out till 2 o'clock here at Rally House Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, 97th and Quivira. This, of course, is the place. I mean, this is just full of Chiefs gear heaven. That's basically what it is. Whether you want your AFC title game gear, you want your Super Bowl 59 gear, it doesn't matter. They've got everything. Shirts, hoodies, beanies, tumblers, I mean everything. And if the Chiefs end up winning on Sunday night, they will reopen this store as well. But we're here till 2 o'clock. You can come in, register to win a $250 gift
card.
Should
get you some good stuff.
I would say so, man.
You know, you get the do you go all Super Bowl related stuff, or do you get like, well, the champions and this, or do you do this like shirt, hoodie, hat, you know, like, you know, combo
if
it up.
They win. So I you know this. I buy the I was here just a few days ago. I have the AFC Champions hoodie from here.
You got enough room in your drawers for any more hoodies?
Dude, no. No,
like,
is the answer.
You got to be at maximum capacity.
I'll do it again.
You might have to start kicking out early Super Bowl hoodies.
I want to do that, but there's definitely stuff like over the last, I don't know, year or so, I'll donate some clothes because there's stuff that just, yeah, too much. Now, I won't, like, Chiefs gear and stuff, no, I hold on to that. But it'll be, it's other items, and I'm like, okay, I just don't wear this anymore. But I will, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, the only piece of clothing from the AFC title game would be the hoodie.
Okay.
The rest I will buy will be Super Bowl gear.
Or three-peat. Which is related.
Yeah.
Arguably, obviously, mm-hmm. because of that. But
Rally House, of course, is the spot to go. 16 area locations. But today you want to stop into the Oak Park one, all right, if we're being real, because you can register to win a $250 gift card.
All right, so the MVP stuff last night. I'm not trying to say that Josh Allen had no business being in the conversation for MVP. And I get it, because Josh Allen, by all accounts, is an incredibly likable dude. the guy, him watching the video gold of him, them doing the MVP montage, and he looks genuinely proud, and he should be. An MVP is a hell of an accomplishment. It goes right at the top underneath Super Bowl champion on accolades that you can have as a quarterback. Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, MVP, All Pros, whatever. But I cannot be convinced otherwise that that wasn't just given to him because they felt bad for him. Seven people, for no reason in my opinion, changed their All Pro vote to an MVP vote on the other side. And if you were just doing it based on vibes, you could have given it to anyone. Saquon, Mahomes, anyone in between gold, and could have made your decisions based on that. But they did it because they liked Josh. And they changed their vote because of that. And you can't convince me otherwise because it's the people who would vote like that. It's Acho and Dan Orlovsky. All the votes are public. I'm not just making it up.
Yeah, for the first
time
ever.
Those are two of the people who switched their votes from who they voted for the All-Pro and who they voted for the MVP.
So I think that's part of the equation. Look, the All-Pro team, remember, that's not even an award. It's an All-Pro team that Lamar Jackson was voted to. And the gap there in the votes was pretty wide. You're like, okay, it means he's going to win MVP. And the reason why that was the thought process is that since 1987, if you were first-team All-Pro as a quarterback, you won MVP. The last time this did not happen was John Elway won MVP and Montana was All-Pro. I believe that was the – I don't think I have that reversed. That was the scenario. So has it happened before? Yes. I told you weeks and weeks and weeks ago that if I had a vote, Josh Allen would be my MVP. I also would have had him first-team All-Pro, though. Now, since he was not first-team All-Pro, I just assumed, and I would have said, all right, well, then Lamar needs to – if I'm the same voter that was like, I'm voting him first-team All-Pro.
Well, then he's got to be the other.
And if you're saying, well, they're two different things, why does it have to be the same?
Since when?
Here's the issue is the criteria – are we going to change it moving forward? Is this now what it's going to be? Because if you're going to say that most valuable player is the most valuable player for the league, okay, all right, and All-Pro is going to be stats – that's never been how it was. In fact, Lamar Jackson, a couple years ago, was in the opposite position, where people were telling him, basically, why he didn't win MVP.
It's because the stats weren't good enough,
correct.
Even though he had to drag a worse team.
So why are we changing it now? And that's where I agree with you to a certain extent, that maybe it's basically the ultimate participation trophy here. And it sucks because it's discrediting.
This season was deserving
of an MVP. Josh Allen was incredible. But it does feel like there will be a little bit of a discussion forever about this year's MVP because of what just happened. And you can't tell me that, well, all the voters, they decided that it's stats for All Pro and valuable for MVP. Only seven people changed their vote. If you would have got everybody to flip their vote, then I would say, oh, that must just be the criteria now. Okay, stats for All Pro and then valuable for MVP. Okay.
Everybody didn't
get
the memo.
But that's not what happened. Only seven people, and you mentioned a couple of them did that. I truly think Josh Allen, likable guy. People know that he's had a great career and he's a great QB, but he has no hardware to show for it. And some people are like, well, I can do both. Lamar's already won two MVPs.
He's got a couple.
Anyway.
It's
I think
fine.
That's what happened, man.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, it's just what happened. Like, we can play back the excuse-making, and I've heard them from Dan Orlovsky and other people. I can hear, but, like, they're saying what, because they're trying to turn it into a vibes award, a narrative award, even more so than it is, as in, well, I just feel like Josh Allen's team was worse. He cited the defense. Their defenses were 0.2 points apart in points per game on defense. He cited the weapons while ignoring the offensive line. By the way, if you polled 100 NFL execs, 80 of them would tell you that the Bills had a better offensive line than Lamar Jackson. So now you're just doing it based on vibes. I just feel like he's more important to his team. And if that's the case, well, then why not just give it to Saquon? Or why not give it to Mahomes every year? You can't argue to me that it's not just most valuable to their team as it relates to wins, because then it's Mahomes every year.
No, because you know what happened. Because you know that when it comes to voting,
so stats matter some, but only some, not all, because the stats all favor Lamar.
You know how this goes when awards are voted on, and someone with anything can change their opinion or take to fit. Ultimately, in this case, their vote. I mean, it's the same stuff with the Heisman. So the Heisman voters are not public in terms of how they voted. They're not allowed to disclose that. Thank goodness we now actually have some transparency with the,
I like the transparency. I'll
voting process, and maybe that'll cause it to change. This is not, it's not an anti-Josh Allen thing or an anti-Lamar thing, pro-Lamar thing. It's just, it doesn't make any sense how that went about. And so now I want to hold these individuals the same thing for next year. Next year, if we have a close MVP race, which we probably will, usually it is fairly close, Are they going? Are we now going to the same voters next year? Whichever, let's say it comes down to quarterbacks again. Whatever quarterback had the better stats, better make sure he gets all pro, and then.
Maybe. And then just make your decision based on vibes.
Who's just more valuable, or who do you feel bad with? Like, we feel bad. No offense, Drew. This is not a shot at you, but like, we feel bad that Joe Burrow hasn't won one now.
So he has no MVP.
It's time to give him one. Like, that's basically what happened this year. I think it's interesting. The names on this, 50 voters for the AP. I'm not going through all 50. But I must say, like, I get there's some big names on here and big outlets. That's who's going to get it. I don't know who this individual is. I'm not going to even mention their name. They run a Bucks website, as in the Tampa Bay Bucks, okay? The website is called joebucksfan.com. Okay. I'm sure it's a great site. How the hell does this guy have a vote?
I don't know. And look,
I got to say, how does this guy have a vote? And it's also, much like outlets and representation and everything, it's mainly the coast, east and west coast. There's not much Midwest representation here or anything like that. So that just goes with the usual. But some of the names, man, like you mentioned Ocho. Problem is more and more outlets are online and TV than
ever before. Pete Prisco votes for it. He just told me today on TV that Travis Kelce is not one of the 10 most important players in the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Just to value this opinion?
Yeah, Adam Schein from CBS, who I think was on with CDOT yesterday or will be on today or something like that, who is notably been kind of one of the key national voices still to this day blaming the referees and everything for the Chiefs. That guy's got a vote. I'm just saying, like, some of the people that have votes, pretty wild. Pretty wild. There's quite a few Boston people that have votes. This is doesn't matter this year because nobody was arguing that Mahomes should have been MVP, but it's just that the we need to cycle in these voters. You get like 3 years to vote, and then
then new people.
It's time. It's
fresh
time
ideas, new people. We'll give you the rules. Let's talk about the game on Sunday as it relates to who are we seeing the last of. I always hate this conversation. Not hate it. I hate it because I feel bad for the players who might no longer be in the thing. Let's just take a quick guess here on a few of these guys.
Yeah.
And you tell me whether or not they will be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs on September 1st of 2025, right?
All right.
A couple days before opening night. Will these players be on the Chiefs? Let's start with Travis Kelce. This is easily the toughest one because if they three-peat, and like you said earlier, I don't know which one makes him more motivated to come back or if either are motivating him to come back. I say because he has a year left on his contract, because of some of the things that were said this week and Clark being like, I think he's coming.
The Clark Hunt comments too,
because
man.
A couple of those move me. I say he is a member of the Chiefs on September 1st of next year.
Yeah, like a week ago, I was leaning way more towards they win.
The Clark one got you, didn't it?
Yeah, because I've always thought that if they win, I think he's done. But hearing Clark Hunt sound so confident in what he's hearing, it makes me truly believe that Travis is going to finish out the final year of the deal. In fact, we might be sitting here in April and we find out he signs a one-year extension or something like that.
Just to give him cap relief and...
Yeah,
that play out the final year and the final year. Sure,
it's really tough. I think some of this too. You use the date. You said September 1st.
That's just like a few days before.
No, I know why you use the date, but is there? Let's not forget Gronk, kind of stepped away semi, and then all of a sudden he was. Does Travis Kelce strike you as the guy that could not be there at the beginning of the season and join up in the middle of the year if they need some help?
I really think when he's done, he's done. Because, like, they tried to do that to Jason Kelce this year, as you remember. They were like, maybe Jason will come back. They tried to do a little bit of that in Philly.
I think it's way different to jump in as a center.
I know. Yeah, you immediately drop the weight.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, you're not the same weight. I'll say he's back. I'll say he's back. Text line as well.
Yeah, Kelce's back.
586-7965.
Okay, Kelce's back.
Yep.
Okay. Justin Reed.
No, I think he's gone. I think they've showed us.
Jaden Hicks looked too good, right?
Justin Reed's another just really good dude on the team, and he played actually at
a very
high level. Great leader, just good person. If you're going to the locker room to try to talk to guys after games, like he always will talk. There's some players that try to get out of there quick. He will always have time to speak, and I think people appreciate that. He'll stand up in those key moments when you need answers, right, to certain questions. I think he's gone because they've drafted Jaden Hicks and some other guys,
and Connor,
they've already showed the move towards. Youth, but also financially, they don't probably want to have to pay another high-priced safety.
They have two times in a row. They paid Matthew, then let him go, then paid Reed. I think if they're going safety, it's back to, like, they want someone who's a free agent who's 26.
The only thing that's different versus the Tyrann Mathieu situation a couple years ago when they let him walk is Justin Reed will turn 28, like, next week. So he'll still be – you could still have 2 years of him under 30.
Yeah.
It's not like he's turning 29
or 30.
So
the final year of the deal, he'd be 30. That's
so
fine.
That's the only one where I'm – but I'll go ahead and say no. And we had a listener just drop off a flag or whatever. So we'll wire the money to you, referees. We'll wire the –
Yeah, we'll all chip in.
Yeah, we'll wire the money. He gave us some flags.
I did see the gridiron one. Okay, so we think we both think Justin Reed's gone. What about Trey Smith?
Oh, dude, this is the one I'm most confident in, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm most confident in this one. He is gone, and he's going to be the top left or top guard.
But on him
the
and Creed are best friends.
I'm sorry, man.
You're breaking up best. You're breaking up best friends. Sorry, I pulled on a cord.
We almost
there.
Went off air there.
Yeah, a little bit. Sorry, just adjusting my legs. Anyway, but like, it's probably stupid to think this way.
Uh-huh.
I feel like if there's a way he would take a hometown discount, isn't it because
he's not taking a $5 million a year hometown discount?
Best friends, dude.
No,
best
no.
friends.
I think he's gone. You look at the offseason the Chiefs have to address, the positional priority at guard. They're possibly going to have to give Joe Tooney an extension as well. Trey Smith's going to get the top dollar on the market, given his age, given his performance. That's just not, I think, realistic, knowing that you need to find a long-term answer at left tackle still, knowing that you got to take care of Joe Tooney as a left guard, not as a long-term answer at left tackle, knowing that Trent McDuffie's going to get taken care of. You might take care of George Karloftis. You just have to cut it off somewhere. You can't pay everybody. And guard, unfortunately, much like linebacker, is not a position that you typically pay top of market for. I think Trey Smith will be a huge loss for them. But, I believe this is his last game.
I hate that there are, a lot of teams who would be interested in him, just based on available offensive guards and the teams who need an offensive guard. Man, it's tough. It's really tough. Drew, you think Trey Smith's gone?
Yeah, unfortunately. I think they're going to pay McDuffie. They got to... In a way, almost you decide on George Karloftis or Trey Smith. I don't know if you. I think Trey Smith might make more money, but I think you have to
Trey
pick.
Smith's get more money.
I think you have to pick between. Yeah. I think you have to. If they didn't sign Karloftis, I think they could find a way to get Trey Smith back in the building. But do you want George Karloftis instead? I think that's the question you got to ask yourselves.
And we didn't even mention, Nick Bolton is another guy who I also don't think.
I think he's gone.
You got to cut off and make the decision somewhere in terms of what kind of money you're going to spend. If they're signing Trey Smith, to me, that means you believe Joe Tooney's gone. It means you believe Nick Bolton's gone. It means you think that Karloftis is not getting it. There's too many things that would have to happen for me to prioritize a guard for a long-term deal.
And
in Kansas City. My prediction, a lot of people, is he's going to sign with the Tennessee Titans. Mike Borgonzi is the new GM, ties to the Chiefs, also happen to be the
person who protected his kid.
Yeah, and they have a quarterback not making any money, whether it's going to be a rookie or it's going to be somebody, right? They don't have any money on the QB, so I think if you're going to draft a QB at number one, why not have a guard that's going to give them protection and they can spend some money there?
It's really tough because the truth is you can make a very strong argument that if you win the Super Bowl three times in a row, well, if you want to do a half rebuild year, shed some cap, figure it out. I mean, next year would be the year. What about Hollywood Brown or DeAndre Hopkins? You think either of those guys the Chief again next year?
If there is one, not two. I don't think both are back. I think it's
Juju.
One. I think Hollywood Brown is back for 1 year.
I think they're all gone.
I think if Hollywood's willing to do 1 year again and say, hey, I know I still think I can have a huge year and then get my big payday after. The worry is if there's somebody out there that's willing already to give him multiple years. And if there is, then he's gone. But if that two-year deal, multi-year deal's not out there, then I think he's back.
How does the wide receiver class again? Because it was pretty good last year.
Unlike in some other cities, I haven't focused in on free agency that much yet, whereas the Chiefs are still trying to win the Super Bowl.
I think the class is good. It's not as top-heavy.
Okay. And the draft?
Yeah.
Because that would answer part of the question. Draft or free agency?
It seems
I think the Chiefs are drafting
heavy.
A wide receiver no matter what, whether Hollywood Brown's back or not. But also, Rashee Rice is going to miss a good chunk of next season, at least early, we believe. Worthy's back. At some point, Sky Moore's on contract, but he's going to be a training camp guy and then possibly be cut. You do have to still have numbers. So they will need to bring in somebody through the draft and a free agent to some extent. If Hollywood Brown cannot get a multi-year deal somewhere else, I think he's back. DeAndre Hopkins, same thing applies. I just don't – are we going to find out in a week or two?
Talk about a person who could retire in 3 weeks.
Oh, I don't think he's retiring.
Why? Why not?
I don't think the option.
His level of production has dipped significantly. He can go out on top. He's a 10-year-plus veteran.
I don't think he's retired.
Nothing's keeping DeAndre
Hopkins. No, he'll be 33 in June, to your point.
There's nothing holding him hostage in this
league. If they win on Sunday, I think the chances go significantly higher.
It definitely goes up, but you're talking, Cody, you think it's already at 25 or 30%. I think it could go, with a win, goes up to a 20% chance he retires. You're acting like it goes up to 50-50.
I think it's 50-50.
Wow. Okay.
His production has been dropping for 4 years in a row.
Sure.
He's been injured since 2021. Hmm. He's in his mid-30s, a pretty common time for wide receivers to fall off. He'll have the Super Bowl ring and every other thing in history that he could possibly need. There's nothing tying him to the game, nothing forcing him to keep playing this game other than obviously a love for it and everything else that kind of comes with it.
I mean,
you can say that about everyone else.
17 touchdowns shy of 100. He's 16 receptions shy of 1,000. You know, he's 40 yards shy of 13,000. I'm just saying, there's some of those numbers,
couple
some
of those,
clean numbers
yeah,
for
fair.
Hall of Fame cases. We'll see. I know we're all guessing here, obviously. There will definitely be a lot of turnover. We all know this. This is what happens. There will be a ton of turnover, especially on a team this year that had so many guys come in on one-year deals, mid-season. You know, Kareem Hunt wasn't originally part of the plan. Juju, DeAndre Hopkins. A lot of these guys are all just not coming back because of that. They were never long-term options to begin with.
Have you ever changed, like, I guess not changed. So when I first started Super Bowls, one of the things I constantly heard is, like, your stars win the games, right? And, like, obviously Mahomes has helped them win so many games. But if I go back through and look at their three Super Bowl wins and the chance for three in a row, yeah, their stars are the biggest reasons. But, dude, there's always one or two players. I don't care if you put Butker down on the list because he's a kicker. Or we talked about with, like, Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney having touchdowns. Or the punt return from Toney. Whether or not how much you value it or don't across the board and those things. It does feel like DeAndre Hopkins or some, you know, like maybe it's Pirine or some unsung hero is going to emerge if they are. Maybe it's just a play. Maybe it's a play or two, like Damian Williams in the first one or, you know, the guys I had just mentioned. Maybe it's just a play or two. I'm not saying they're going to be up for MVP or anything in between it. Because I would have told you, Gold, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that Nick Bolton was going to be one of the players we mentioned the most as part of the Super Bowl win. But he was, too. And so I just keep, like, looking for those guys, too. I'm like, all right, who is it? We always joke it's Justin Watson. Maybe we think it's Noah Gray.
We hope it's Noah Gray. We hope it's Noah Gray.
Maybe it's a guy like Dana. Maybe somebody comes up with a big sack because they're deep on the defensive line and they're focused on other stuff. Or Felix DK Uzama.
Can you commit to something?
Yeah.
So you didn't. No song today, right? You
don't have a song. No song.
Okay. Can you commit if that somebody that we're talking about here ends up being Felix and Udike Uzama somehow in the eight snap? Well, no. No, I think I mean more of a punishment.
Oh, I see. Sure.
I think the listeners would enjoy this. He may only get like 8 to 10 snaps.
We're gonna need I need a voting panel, but sure.
Yeah. Okay. If he's the guy late in the game that somehow gets the strip sack or seals it, I feel like you got to do something.
Okay.
Based off the history of the show, we've been talking about it.
You actually have to fulfill the strip club bet.
This is no. Hold on. Wait. I got an idea that does not involve a strip club. Okay. Something we've discussed behind the scenes that I think we could make happen for this.
Yeah.
I am wrong on Felix and Udike Uzama, and he comes through in this big-time moment for the game-sealing play to win the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah.
We will purchase a cold tub.
Yeah, we looked at one.
We'll call it an ice-cold take.
Take an ice bath.
And I will do a segment praising Felix and Udike Uzama from an ice bath.
Let's go. We found one. We can get for less than $100. We got to load it up with ice and water, and we're going to start doing that for just freezing cold takes, basically. Essentially, you guys know the Twitter account. We'll do that.
We'll just do it live. An actual freezing cold take.
Make sure you got a little hand towel, Cody, because you're going to need to bite into it. It's going to be cold.
Is that an insult? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
No. I
wasn't sure what direction we were heading in this.
The moment until you go numb, you know, you got to.
Have you ever taken a cold tub? Full cold tub?
I've taken a cold tub all the time.
We've all been there, right? Like, I had an apartment multiple years ago where the hot water heater went out for a day or two. And, like, hey, I still got a shower, right? And you go in there, and it was so cold. And that's not even close to an ice bath. But it was so cold, like, you're almost out of breath as you're taking the shower. You've been there before, right?
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about. That's the No, have I ever willingly just jumped in a tub of ice? No.
Come on, guys. Someone says I can't make it a full segment. What's a maximum of 10 to 20 minutes? So we should probably set like a number that isn't like dangerous for my health.
10 minutes. 12 minutes.
Yeah. 10? 10
minutes? Was it for ALS, the ice bucket challenge many, many years ago? You guys remember that? Like in 2014, 2013, that was a popular thing. That's just a bucket of ice, and that was cold too. But actually sitting in a tub, no.
You shouldn't be in there for more than probably 15 minutes.
How long till you sit in there, Drew, and your whole body would go numb?
I don't know about
couple minutes, probably.
I don't know about your whole body, but I would go chest deep, I'd go waist deep, I'd go leg deep.
He has to go all the way up to his neck.
Okay, so if you go all the way up to your chest, you probably go numb in a matter of like two and a half minutes, which is why, again, the worst part is that 2 to 2.5 minutes. As soon as your body goes numb, it's great. It's fine.
No, it's great.
You know what? I don't think so. I feel like this is being exaggerated. We'll find out. It's good for circulation, Gold, you know?
Someone says cold tub is too easy for Cody. No song for 3 months will drive you crazy more than the cold tub. They're not wrong. It's been a bit already.
It has been a little bit.
Up next, we're going to get to the 1 o'clock hour as we continue broadcasting live from Rally House Oak Park and set for the big game on Sunday. The place to go to get geared up. Come on in till 2 o'clock. You can register to win a $250 Rally House gift card. Up next, we'll be joined at some point in the early portion of the hour, I think 1:15 or so, Dusty Likens is going to call in from New Orleans. We'll check in. They're done with shows for the week, so this could be interesting, especially when we ask him about the whole Cincinnati Who Day thing with Trey Hendrickson, and we'll also get back into why the Chiefs have been so perfect, and I mean perfect, in the first quarter with leads.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.